It's been an incredible week, all focused, if you will, on the late Pope John Paul II and on Divine Mercy. Divine Mercy's been around since God's been around, but the celebration of a Divine Mercy Sunday, the first Sunday after Easter, was really Pope John Paul's idea. And I believe it was only in the year 2000 that he actually proclaimed the first Sunday after Easter, not changing any of the gospel or readings or anything else. He just proclaimed it as the Sunday of Divine Mercy. And there is a ongoing Congress in Rome dedicated this first week of April, which follows Divine Mercy Sunday, and the Congress falls within the time frame of the anniversary of Pope John Paul's death. So it's kind of like a seamless garment of events this week at the Vatican, woven around the theme of Divine Mercy. And Pope Benedict actually spoke about it Sunday. He was at Castel Gandolfo. He didn't return to Rome until that evening. But he did talk about it at the Regina Caeli Reflections at Castel Gandolfo. And he said, mercy is in reality the core of the gospel message. It is the name of God himself, the face with which he revealed himself in the ancient covenant and fully in Jesus Christ. And those are words which, if the Pope had stopped right there, they certainly would make you think. It is the name of God himself. And
he also went on, didn't he, to say how Pope John Paul's pontificate was characterized by this key element of divine mercy.
And we know, anybody who
it could almost be summed up,
be a student, knows that the Pope dedicated, Pope John Paul dedicated his second encyclical to mercy, Dives in Misericordia. And it is a thread woven, of course, throughout his pontificate, because naturally we have the Polish nun, the Sister Faustina, to whom Christ spoke, telling her what to do with regard to this charism, this gift of mercy, God's gift of mercy that just envelops us. Jesus kept using the term an ocean of mercy, a sea of mercy. And that is used when he spoke to Sister Faustina, and she brought those words to us in her diary. So you have Divine Mercy really being at the heart of John Paul's long and multifaceted, as the Pope called it, pontificate, and his entire mission in the service of the truth about God and man and peace in the world. It's all summarized by his words, John Paul's words, when he inaugurated the Shrine of Divine Mercy just outside of Krakow. And the Pope said at that time, apart from the mercy of God, there is no other source of hope for mankind. So if anybody has followed the late Holy Father's readings, writings, preachings, they already know about Divine Mercy.
So moving on to Wednesday, there was no general audience, of course, and instead we had this Mass to mark the third anniversary of his death. Tell us something about that, Joan.
Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. After so much bad weather in the first place, the day was magnificent. There were an estimated 60,000 people in St. Peter's Square. You can just guess how many wonderful Polish people there were singing and with their banners and in native dress and so forth. And it was a very, very beautiful Mass. Dozens and dozens of cardinals celebrating, obviously, Pope John Paul's secretary and friend and almost son for close to 40 years. Now Cardinal Stanisław Żywiec of Krakow was there. A very, very wonderful day. A lot of people had speculated that perhaps there might be an announcement of the date of beatification for Pope John Paul.
Yes,
because, of course, the cause started because Benedict allowed it to start without the usual five-year wait period. So it started in, I think it was the month of May following the Pope's death. And I spoke to Monsignor Oder, of course. He's the postulator for the cause. And he had just, let's say a week ago, he said that they had delivered a rough draft of the positio, which are papers. In fact, there's 2,000 pages of papers that are given to the congregation. This is the second phase. The first phase was in Poland. The second phase of the cause for beatification taking place here in Rome at the congregation. And now apparently the final draft of this positio has been given. And it's 2,000 pages long. It's a lot of material for a special. There are people within the congregation who are then assigned Jan Paul's cause. They read it, they look at it, they kind of play a little bit of a devil's advocate, they interview people, they look at miracles. There's a great deal to look at.
Indeed, 2,000 pages is not going to be done overnight.
So people certainly thought that it might be possible that it would be announced Wednesday. But you know what? And it's a good thing. The congregation and the postulator want Jan Paul's cause to follow all the rules, stay within the allowable time. If Pope Benedict wanted to waive the 5-year waiting period, that's okay. But the rest of the process really does have to follow a certain procedure. And you'd never, ever down the road want the claim that Pope John Paul was put on a fast track to sainthood. All of us feel he was saintly, of course, every day in his life. But then there's a procedure for determining that. And you would never want an accusation that, you know, this miracle wasn't entirely looked into well and it really
Indeed,
didn't happen
no,
and so
it's
forth.
It's got to be all up front and transparent.
Exactly. But going back to Wednesday's Mass, and again, returning to the theme of divine mercy, because Pope Benedict did it himself in his homily about his predecessor. For our listeners who happen to have heard it on radio, but better yet, if you did see this on television, and if your commentators and newspapers and radio gave you any of Pope Benedict's moving, wonderful words. This was a man who tremendously loved and respected his predecessor. And he highlighted some of the most wonderful things about the Pope's life. But what I found so touching, Pope Benedict began with a look back at 3 years ago,
and of course
April 2nd.
That's a day that none of us can forget.
Memories. Exactly. Not as long as we live. I dedicated my entire blog yesterday, Jones Rome, to a look back at 3 years, where I was, you know, in the press office, what we did, the feelings too, not just simply what we did, a list of activities, but the feelings involved with that. And you could get some idea of that from Pope Benedict. He highlighted the human, and I found this interesting. He spoke of John Paul's human and supernatural.
Yes, that was something
qualities.
That was picked up a lot by, the secular press,
everyone. It was indeed. And I remember just sitting there listening to the homily, and I heard, you know, the word in Italian, and I thought, wow, isn't that, you know, amazing, wonderful, and you know what? I think true. But he said among those qualities that John Paul had was an exceptional spiritual and mystical sensibility. And Benedict spent quite some time really on Pope John Paul's last weeks, days, and hours, and his suffering.
Yes, he sort of reminded people that particularly, shall we say, on April the 2nd, 2005, I mean, the Vatican was really the center of the world. All the cameras of the world were trained.
Well put, exactly. They really, really were. And the Pope, in talking about, he talked about Pope John Paul's motto. He called it his motto of "Be not afraid." And he said you could see this throughout his entire life, that he lived this way, proclaimed the gospel without fear, lived the gospel message without fear. He proclaimed this with unbending firmness, even towards the end, as he literally carried his cross on the very last Good Friday of his life, watching the way of the cross from his chapel, embracing the cross, which he had done. That was a real physical act, and he had embraced it symbolically. And Pope Benedict said, "The eloquent scene of human suffering and faith revealed to believers and to the whole world the secret of an entire Christian life." How beautiful is that? Mm-hmm. And actually, Benedict dedicated so much time to John Paul's qualities, his papacy, what defined his papacy, all of the qualities that we talk about, his search for Christ, his search for truth, and a mercy. We have to go back to that because
of this Congress. Which
because of the Congress,
Wednesday.
Exactly. And the Pope did mention that the Congress, the very day of the Mass, April 2nd, this 5-day Congress opens in Rome and closes Sunday with Cardinal Schönbrunn's Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. And that what I find interesting about this Congress on Mercy is that in the evening, well, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday evenings, in Piazza Navona, they have the different communities, like the Shalom community, the Chenakolo community, having a prayer gathering and different themes every single night, and then the confessions and Eucharistic adoration. And so a very dense program, rich in speakers, obviously rich in telling the world a little bit more about Divine Mercy. If they haven't learned anything since John Paul wrote about it and declared Divine Mercy Sunday, this Congress, which they hope, by the way, it's the first World Apostolic Congress on Divine Mercy, and they hope very much to make it a normal event, maybe every 4 years, perhaps in a different city, perhaps in Rome.
There was just one final event, wasn't there, of course, on April the 2nd, this anniversary, and that was the prayer vigil by the young people.
Yes, indeed. The amazing number of young people in Rome. You're referring to the one in St. Peter's Square. And I had been, as a matter of fact, coming home from a dinner, saw all the candles in the square, and it's very close to my home. So I simply stopped by, and I have my trusty little small Nikon camera always in my purse. And here were these young Polish, they had organized it, but other people from other countries and ages, there were little babies there in carriages, were there to pray and reflect. It was all very quiet, very solemn, much like 3 years ago. It brought me back with a jolt to 3 years when thousands of candles were lit in and around and all over St. Peter's Square. And nobody was stopped from doing it, which was wonderful. It's kind of like this has to be an exceptional night in our lives, and we're not going to tell people not to light candles. With all different kinds of candles, they formed the letters J, P, and then 2.
Did they light them at a particular time, like with the time he died?
I'm going to guess they did because I wasn't there. I was there at 10 of 11, and the square closes at, St. Peter's Square closes at 11. So the candles were lit. The young people were very, very quietly, beautifully singing. And then they had a huge banner that showed John Paul in his prime with a huge, you know, white dove of peace. And, oh, the banner was just immense. So I got some really nice pictures, and I'll be posting them on my blog. But they, about 5 of 11, they began to blow the candles out because they knew that they had to leave the square anyway. But okay. It was remarkable.